Well, hello. I am Matt Williamson. This is the Locked On NFL podcast. I am at Williamson NFL. I urge you to check me out there as well. I hope you guys enjoyed yesterday's show. Did an extra one for you, reviewing the first two games, the Saturday games. So this is going to be a quick one. We're going to talk Jags over Steelers, Vikings over Saints, starting with the one here that happened in my hometown, a crazy game. Jacksonville 45, Steelers 42. And I give Jacksonville all the credit in the world. It's not going to sound like it, trust me. They played a very solid game. They were the better team. They were the more physical team. They were the better coached team. Coming to Pittsburgh and win twice in the same season, that's not easy. But man, did the Steelers give them this one. I mean, I thought this was a dismal performance by the majority of the Steelers team in this one. To come out, I hate the term flat, but to come out right off the bat and down 14-0. I mean, to be down on the scoreboard, and we know the Jags are a way different team playing with the lead as opposed to playing from behind. And you have 2 weeks to prepare, and you come out like you've never... Again, a lot of this is going to come through a black and gold perspective. And that's, I can't help it, that's where I'm at. And I do a lot of work with SNR. But I do think they lost this game more than Jacksonville won it. And again, that's not taking anything away from the players and coaching staffs and performance of the Jags. And Leonard Fournette was great and all these things. But to come out, to me, the Jags are one of the easiest teams in the league to prepare for. They do what they do. Their defense is execution-based, and there really isn't a great spot to attack. Their offense is a lot of power running between the tackles, double teams, and then play action off that. The Steelers come out in this game like they didn't have any clue that that was going to be the case. Boy, I can't believe it. They're canning the ball Fournette on inside runs and doing short play action dump-offs and screens and things like that off of that. Can't believe it. Walk right down the field on them. And Fournette was really good in this game, like I mentioned. I mean, I thought it was the best he's looked in a while. And was really physical, finished run, just looked like he had a better burst. Was really impressed with his play. Bortles, he completed three passes that were 10 yards downfield or more per attempt. And where his target was 10 yards or closer on all his other completions except for three. He made one or two throws where I said, wow, nice throw. He made easy throws, short throws, high school throws, and the Steelers let him. And yes, the offensive game plan was a good one and allowed him to do that, and getting the early lead absolutely allowed him to do that. But they were throws that most of us out here would make. I mean, they were dump-off five-yard throws. I mean, he didn't turn the ball over. That's absolutely instrumental. He bought time. He made some play with his legs. He was hard to get on the ground and get to, so he deserves credit there. But wow, I mean, as bad as the Steelers defense could possibly play, in my opinion. I mean, no pass rush. Bad tackling. Poor run fits. Poor alignment. Pre-snap, they looked bad. I mean, everything was bad about this defense on every level. And I told you guys on Friday, and I said it a bunch on SNR, Steeler Nation Radio, all last week, that the number one thing that I thought the Steelers had going for them, just a matchup situation, was the Steelers 300-pounders over the Jags 300-pounders when Jacksonville had the ball. And I was wrong. I mean, like, so to me, that Jacksonville deserves a lot of credit in that regard, was Linder and the interior of that offensive line and their big men as a whole absolutely were better than the Steelers' big men. And I did not see that coming. That shocked me like crazy. They didn't get any pressure on Bortles. They got pushed off the ball. I saw more blitzing than I would have liked from the Steelers. I sent a tweet out before the game. Expect a lot of three-man rushes, you know, and didn't see any in this game. And I said that for a couple reasons. First off was I thought the Steelers would have an advantage there. Hayward, Tua, and those guys. They didn't. But more so, I just thought tactically that was a great way to, you know, to make Bortles play late in the down, which isn't something he does well, and have eight in the coverage and try to make him find out where that eighth defender is in coverage. They didn't do it once. And I mention this because if I forget to tell you between now and Friday, I want you to pay attention to Patriots-Jags. I bet Belichick rushes three a ton. And if he does, I'm going to pat myself on the back and say, that's what I would have done. But it didn't get home with four. It didn't get home with five. The pass rush was horrible. And Bortles did do a good job extending plays. But boy, this defense was bad. I mean, was really, really bad. On the other side of the ball, Steelers scored 42 points. I mean, against maybe the best defense in the league. If not, it's second to Minnesota. And a great pass defense. My complaints were a lot of empty sets, which to me was just foolish. You know, like you're basically telling the Jags, even though you don't stop the run, we're not even going to have Le'Veon Bell in the backfield to at least give you the thought that we might run the ball with the best running back in the league. They did that a lot early on. The first series was all empty. And to me, it was just massive hubris saying, we're the Steelers, we're better than you. I know you guys want us to throw, but we're going to do it anyway. And before you know it, they're down heavy on the scoreboard. My other complaint is one that is consistent with Haley is third and one, fourth and one, tight in the red zone. Don't get cute. You know, don't throw cutback or pitch plays to the short side of the field with wide receivers as your primary blockers against the fastest defense in the league on, you know, third and one, fourth and one. I do think a lot of it is Ben coming to the line of scrimmage and changing things from time to time. Like the fourth and one, they didn't get to Juju. It was a really nice throw, but I think Ben checked out of that. And I kind of get that. You come to the line of scrimmage and you're like, okay, I got AB one-on-one with press man coverage with no safety help because everyone's stacking the line of scrimmage. I got to go there. But take a page out of Brady's playbook and just do the quarterback sneak or bring in the fullback and an extra offensive lineman and give it to the best back in the league. And convert on third and one, fourth and one. That's a Haley-Ben trend for the last couple of years. It's inexcusable. Ben had two turnovers on this one, and one of them was a fumble that I blame him for because he held the ball very, very long and a bad interception. So those were gigantic, but I thought he played a very, very good game and made some unbelievable throws. And you would have think that the Jags allowing 42 points and Ben throwing for, 469 and five touchdowns, that, boy, the Jags D was terrible. It wasn't. I mean, Ramsey and Bouye and those guys had really tight coverage, and they had a lot of pressure on Ben, and they did a pretty good job against the run. But sometimes you just have a little bit extra. You know, like the throw was indefensible at times, or AB was phenomenal, or Bell or McDonald had a big role here. That Steelers offense had many very, very impressive plays against the highest level of defense. And that's really the only good thing I can say about the Steelers in this game. But it's a really good thing. But they had the two turnovers. And when you don't get it on fourth and one, that's really the same thing as fumbling it at the line of scrimmage on third and six. I mean, so in a way, they gave the Jags the ball back four times. So hard to win that way. And Jags took an early lead, and we saw that. And I thought the Steelers coaching staff was vastly outcoached. And both sides of the ball, I mean, not knowing what to expect or appearing not to be prepared for what I think is the easiest offense in the league. You know what they're going to do. And they did it, and it looked like you had never seen it before. I had a few qualms with the offensive coaching staff too, but it was mostly, I already told you about them. Tomlin's clock management is still awful. Has been since he's been here. To not kick it away late, the usage of timeouts. Clock management has been a big problem here for a long time, and it absolutely was in this game. But the better team won. I mean, I'm not sitting here bashing the Jags or crying in my Wheaties. It's a hard loss, though, because I feel like the Steelers lost the game more than the Jags won. And again, I don't mean that to sound negative from where Jacksonville stands. But the Steelers went out of their way almost to make this game really hard on themselves, and they deserve to lose because of it. And a lot of it has to reflect on the coaching staff. All right, so the final game of the slate was a great way to finish off the day, as it was the best game. It was a lot of fun to watch and had the craziest play we've seen in a long time. Vikings 29, Saints 24, and it ends, as all of you know by now, on Diggs's long reception to win this thing. And let's just talk about that play for a moment. And it was one of the worst plays I've ever seen by a safety. Rookie Williams. I mean, I don't know if you know who Williams is, but he's basically a free safety, away from the ball player, good range. Has been very good for them. He has a bright future. He's part of the best rookie class we've seen in a while, and he's probably the name that gets mentioned the least with Kamara and Lattimore and Ramchek, but he is a fixture, long-term starter. And to defend him just a little, but like I said, it's one of the worst safety plays I've ever seen, I think he was worried about blowing Diggs up and getting a flag. But he dipped his head and didn't see at all what he was trying to hit. And he never opened his arms to, like, to wrap or to get an arm on him, and whiffed badly. And then compounding matters, not only did he whiff badly, but he runs into, I think it was Crawley, it was a corner, and gave him no chance to maybe track down Diggs. So it was the perfect storm. It was a lot of fun to see, unless you're a Saints fan, and Diggs went crazy, and he played a really good game overall. But it was fluky, and it was, to me, like, people talk like, that was one of the best plays ever. It was a really memorable play, but it was also one of the worst plays ever. I mean, it was a terrible play by the safety. It's the only reason this happened. So let's talk about this game a little bit. I mean, this thing was 17-0 into half. Minnesota was very much in charge. And their defense was outstanding. And the defense controlled the day, controlled the first half, to say the least. And on the day, this great rushing attack ended up with 80 yards, 11 of it from Ted Ginn, one of it from Drew Brees. But Kamara averaged 3.9 on 11 carries. Ingram averaged 2.5 on 10 carries. Longest run of the day was the 11-yarder by Ginn. So this running game was truly stifled, and it's a great running game, and it's a great offensive line. But then Brees started picking it up. And like last week, you remember Drew Brees ain't close to being done. I mean, this guy is legit. And he ended the day with 294 yards, much of it in the second half, and much of it to Michael Thomas, who was a great player once again. Him and Ginn combined for 15 catches for over 150 yards. Not really big plays, but consistent plays and chunks. And Kamara had 62, and the tight end Hill had 54. It looked like they were going Mackenzie Alexander's direction a lot. But they had success against Rhodes, too. And Thomas, I thought Thomas was a exceptional number two. But I think he's a one. I think he's getting better and better. And you guys know I do not throw that number one receiver term around very much. The weapons for the Vikings, as I mentioned, I mean, Diggs had a great game even before that play, a great game. Thielen had another big game. I'm really coming around on Kyle Rudolph didn't have a great game, but I think he's better than I've been giving him credit for, too. They got Jarius Wright involved for 5 catches. The backs didn't do a whole heck of a lot. The Vikings advance, and I don't mean to just brush over things that happened in the game, but here's a concern I have for the Vikings right now, is you're up, what I say, 17-0 at the half. At home. Against a good defense, but not the best one we've ever seen or anything. And you would think, almost like how Jacksonville did, but you know, without the offense roaring back, that you would just lean on your running game and put this team away. And I say this because it could be an issue going forward. But remember how bad their offensive line was last year? Like I said, it's the worst offensive line in the league, I thought, last year. And a lot of it was due to injury, and it crippled their team, and that's why they didn't get to this point in the season, because you know they couldn't block a soul last year. It's not to that level. Obviously, the line is better, but injuries are setting in. And the line has really become a problem. That there's a big glaring weakness on this team, and it's not Case Keenum, who's played, again, very, very well in this game. But it's a line. And you would think that you would have been able to lean on McKinnon and Murray and kind of seal this thing. But they had a really hard time blocking Cameron Jordan, as you'd expect. I mean, he's one of the best defense players in the league right now. And they couldn't seal the deal. And in a way, they were lucky to win this thing because of it. I mean, if the narrative would have been different, if they never throw that ball to Diggs, maybe we're sitting here going, man, Vikings really blew that one, you know, and the kicking game was interesting. So they advanced to Philly, and a lot of big-time quarterbacks were eliminated yesterday. I mean, Breeze and Ben were eliminated yesterday, a Hall of Fame, two of the best quarterbacks of this generation. And so we have Bortles, Foles, Keenum, who I think is way better than those two, and Brady. And Brady's path of to get to win this thing again is Mariota, Bortles, Foles, or Keenum. I mean, I know that it's quarterbacks don't play quarterbacks, and quarterback win-loss record isn't always my thing. That sets up pretty well. Couple little news and notes. I mean, and I'm missing a few of them, but this is going to be Brady's 12th AFC Championship game. Like, again, I'm going to take it back to the Steelers. The Steelers are one of the most successful organizations ever. I mean, they have the most Super Bowl trophies. They're an elite organization going back to the 70s. They've been to the AFC Championship game 16 times. That's awesome. I mean, you think about that. Since 1975 or so, the Steelers have gone a very high percentage of the time. Let's say it's, I don't know, 73 to 2017 is, what, 40 years? And the Steelers have gone 16 out of 40, give or take. You know, I mean, that's a pretty good percentage of going to the AFC Championship game. This is going to be Brady's 12th. He's only gone four times less than the Steelers organization, including seven in a row. They've gone to the AFC Championship game seven in a row. I mean, there are so many remarkable Brady stats out there, but none of them are more jaw-dropping than AFC Championship stuff. I mean, it's unreal. So, meanwhile, the other three teams, the Vikes, the Eagles, the Titans, or the Jags, have never won a Super Bowl. So maybe we have a new winner, and maybe we have the Vikings, you know, with a home game, although it won't be the same purple crowd. It's a little more executive and a little pricier ticket, and those tickets are already sold. But fun weekend. I did not see the Eagles winning, and they convinced me a little bit. Like I talked about yesterday, line of scrimmage play was huge. Patriots took care of business. I absolutely didn't see the Steelers losing. And if you listen to me at all these local things around here, you'll realize that I'm very down on that performance. I thought they embarrassed themselves. And we saw a great game, an evenly matched game, a well-coached game, Vikings-Saints. I thought those were two high-end teams that basically played like it. And Saints roared back, and Drew Brees is really fun. And, you know, a good Vikings team emerged. So that's where we're at. Over and out. Enjoy your night.